There is a new champion in Division I girls high school hockey, and another chapter written in a great rivalry between the two schools that battled for the crown at Gutterson Fieldhouse last night. The Essex Hornets scored two goals and then played airtight defense the rest of the way to take back the title from BFA St. Albans in a 2-0 victory that marks their first state title for Essex since 2016. Abigail Robbins and Hannah Himes were the Hornets' goal scorers. Sophia Forcier stopped 15 shots in net to earn her biggest shutout of the year. The Comets beat the Hornets in last year's final by that same 2-0 score that brought the title back to Essex last night. Two schools have now skated against each other five times for the championship since 2013. In Division II, the Missisquoi Thunderbirds are the new champs, winning their first state title since 2012 after a 3-1 win over Woodstock. Senior Kelly Park scored twice for Missisquoi. They held a 2-0 lead before Alessandra Simmons cut that lead in half with a wrist shot in the second period, but they'd get no closer. The Thunderbirds got an 18-save effort from goalie Madison Conley. To the boys' high school hoops playoffs in Division III semifinals, Williamstown coach Jack Carrier earned his 200th career victory, one that'll send the Blue Devils to the state final for an eighth consecutive year after beating People's Academy 48-36 last night at Barry Auditorium. Williamstown will face Thetford in the final. The Panthers scored a 49-41 win over second-seeded Hazen. To the pros now, the Boston Bruins suffered a 4-3 road loss to the Jets in Winnipeg last night, third loss in a row for the Bruins. Mark Scheifele had two goals and two assists for the Jets. Blake Wheeler, former Bruin, added insult to injury by adding another against his former team. Bruins are pretty banged up right now. They've got injuries to defenseman Matt Grizzlick, Torrey Krug, and forwards David Pastrnak, Jake DeBrusk, and Marcus Johansson. And those players better get back soon as the Bruins try to make a playoff push and get healthy for the postseason. Toronto Maple Leafs will be their likely first-round opponent, and the Bruins would like to secure home ice in that series. The Montreal Canadiens are just trying to make it to the postseason. The New York Islanders didn't do them any favors in that effort last night. They got a goal with just under 3 minutes left in regulation by Anders Lee to top the Habs 2-1 in Uniondale. Jordy Benn scored for Montreal, but not getting that point leaves Montreal outside the playoff bubble. They're still tied with Columbus for the final wildcard playoff berth, but the Jackets own the tiebreaker. In the NBA, Kyrie Irving recorded a triple-double, 31 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. That helped the Boston Celtics overcome a sluggish start and a 17-point first-half deficit as they beat the Sacramento Kings in Boston last night, 126-120, fourth win out of the last five for the Celtics. Now, the University of Vermont men's basketball team gets a shot at redemption and an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament when they tip off against the UMBC Retrievers at Patrick Gym tomorrow. I spoke with VPR sports correspondent Andy Gardner about this matchup, and I asked him if Catamount fans should be worried given the two games UMBC won against UVM this season.
In the first game, Anthony Lamb, the unanimous choice as the player of the year, was sidelined with a concussion, and so he didn't play. But he was at full force in the second game that Vermont lost in Baltimore. And in both those games, UMBC really made Vermont struggle offensively. They double-teamed Lamb, and they harassed Ernie Duncan on the perimeter and forced Vermont to try and find a third revenue stream offensively, and they couldn't do it.
Well, UMBC made history last year, as you know, Andy, because they became the first 16 seed ever to defeat a number one seed of the NCAA tournament. They got there by beating UVM in the America East Final. Is this year's UMBC squad virtually the same one that took down Virginia?
No, the two big missing pieces are Jarius Lyles, the guard who hit the winning shot against Vermont, and KJ Morrow, his backcourt playmaking point guard. They both graduated. But the Retrievers still have two very important pieces back. Joe Sherburn, a graduate senior who was a first-team all-conference forward, and KJ Jackson, a second-team pick at guard who was also first-team all-defense.
Andy, it used to be that the Albany Great Danes were the team that had Vermont's number, always gave them fits. It's not really true now, but is UMBC, having beaten Vermont now the last three times they played them, right? I mean, are they the team that's going to maybe take them down again?
Well, look at it this way, Mitch. You're right. Three straight wins for the Retrievers. That comes after Vermont had a 23-game winning streak against UMBC, which ended in last year's championship game. But the Retrievers have had a defensive plan for the Cats, and if they win on Saturday, that'll be four consecutive wins over Vermont, three of them at Patrick Gymnasium. I think that there is no question that they're the better representative for the league.
However, UVM, a healthy Anthony Lamb for Saturday. Steph Smith coming off a huge game in the semifinal for UVM. I think he set a record for three-pointers in an AE semifinal. In that game, I mean, does UVM just have too many weapons at this point?
Well, Mitch, they are feeling very, very good after their semifinal win over Binghamton. They played near flawless basketball at both ends of the court in that game. Steph Smith is kind of the wild card in the deck. You know that Ernie Duncan and Anthony Lamb are going to be there and provide leadership and offense. But they need that third leg to the stool offensively. And Steph Smith has that potential, as he showed with 28 points against Binghamton. But they're going to need him in a similar role on Saturday.
Can I get you to make a prediction?
I think Vermont wins this game.
Before I let you go, Andy, I want to talk quickly about the Middlebury basketball teams. They wrapped up their seasons.
Yeah, their seasons ended a couple weeks ago, Mitch, but both the Middlebury men and women had strong seasons, and the men went 20-8 and shared the regular season NESCAC title and earned an at-large bid to the NCAA, but lost a close game in the opening round. The Middlebury women were 20-8 and also earned an at-large bid to the NCAA, but lost in the first round. The NESCAC has become a real powerhouse in both men's and women's basketball at the D3 level.
That's our VPR sports correspondent, Andy Gardner. You can find his full article previewing tomorrow's America East Championship game at vpr.org.